I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith. This is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 48, Week 3, home opener at the Boz, Saturday, 1 p.m. It's the Utica Pioneers, another E8 team. Head coach Kevin DeWall's here. Welcome back.
Good morning.
You're 0-2. Nothing can change that. But I want to make a statement and see if you agree. I don't think this year's team, after two games, is far from where last year's team was at this time. You found a way to win last year at Utica, lost your second game, came home, won the home opener, or won the second home game in this case, and went on from there. Would you agree?
Yeah, you're pretty accurate. And you mentioned Utica, but it was the Alfred game last year. It was a 10-7 game that we had won at home. And, I honestly, that's the difference. We're a different team in terms of just experience, leadership, poise, and some of those. But we're not very far from where we were last year at this point after two games. Last year, you know, we won a 10-7 game at home. That, you know, we were behind most of that game and found a way to win it. And then we went on the road to a good Randolph-Macon team and lost in overtime with the chance to win it. The first 2 weeks this year feel very similar in terms of the outcomes didn't go in our favor, but we could be sitting at 2-0. And be the same team that we are right now, sitting at 0-2. I mean, both winnable games against two quality opponents, both situations where we needed to execute better in different phases of the game, and those games could be 2 or 3 score wins. And as we talked before, the margin for victory and defeat is very small. It's very slight. And unfortunately, for various reasons, things, either the bounces haven't gone our way, a couple calls, I think you create your own luck. We haven't had necessarily the best health and mojo yet, but I do believe, and I said it to our guys yesterday, like, I feel very confident, I feel very strong in terms of where we're going. The progression we made from week one to week two showed against a good team on the road, and honestly, we should have won that game, and that's no disrespect to a good Brockport team. We had opportunities to extend that to a two-possession game a couple different times, and maybe that keeps the ball out of their running back's hands. And again, at the end of the day, we had opportunities in all three phases to make that a game in our favor. We didn't. We're going to learn and grow from it. But I know a lot of people might overreact. The people that are behind that team room, they know who we are. We know who we are. We know where we're going. We know we're progressing the right way. And I also think at times, I think a lot of people thought we were going to be the team that we were last year. We're not. We're not the same personnel. Depth. I think we know our team well. We know what we can do. We know, you know, the progress we're going to make. But I said day one that we're going to be a team that gets better week to week, and we've shown that so far through preseason. And we have not played clean enough ball, mistake free ball yet. We got to clean up some things there on what we can do. But again, I know you know, it's about calming down people, and I'm not worried about outside noise. It's about calming down our guys, just because of we have a standard of tradition. We have a standard of expectation here that, you know, we don't typically lose those type of games, two close one-possession games. They usually go in our favor. The last week didn't go in our favor. So what now what? We're on to really focusing on, again, another quality program coming in that's playing hot. They're riding high. But it's about our progression, and we knew that this just who we were, our infrastructure, our DNA, that we were going to be a team that needed these couple games to kind of gain some experience. And you would rather be teaching off of a win than a loss, but at the same time, that's not the reality of where we're at. But I think we're in a good spot to forge ahead and have another good, strong week of competition this week.
Fans talk a lot, and we talk a lot about quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers, but it's a line of scrimmage game, and when you've got two lines that are banged up and guys moving around positions, it's hard to play the game.
Always has been, always will be. And as much as I've played and coached, you know, different skill positions, my time with the O-line is what really kind of really confirmed to me how important the line of scrimmage is. And any good team at any level, whether you're going into high school, you're going to college, you're going to the NFL, if you're not both cohesive and strong and confident at the two line of scrimmage, it's going to be really tough to overcome that over the course of 60 minutes against a good opponent. And we did some things early in that game to try to mask and try to hide some of the things. We had a first year getting his first start. We had other guys, you know, that were getting in either their second start against a good quality defense. And then by the time the game went on, and we missed some opportunities to, like I said, to put points on the board, either because they were called back or a couple questionable calls. Either way, like, we put that on us. That was part of the game plan, was to hit things early on to give our defense a lead, and it's been a recipe that's worked in the past. We didn't extend the lead as much as we should have, and that ultimately came back, and our defense played well all the way through the last drive, and you know, that's where we got to be able to complete it, you know. And I think, again, the line of scrimmage is we're banged up. There's no other hiding of that, but at the same time, the next guy up is going to gain some valuable experience. Honestly, it's very similar to where we were last year. That's the ironic part. Like, we were banged up at the line of scrimmage earlier in the year, and that eventually helped us later in the year as guys were getting some good experience. I mean, guys like Jake Jaffe and Javon James last year were getting starts early. And again, I think we have good kids that are working hard. They're learning from those mistakes. They're competitive people, so they don't like that they're not performing to the level they want yet. But I like the competitive pride they have, and I think we're going to respond with a good performance this week.
One of the most important spots on the line is left tackle. That's Ashton Mejias, your first-team all-leaguer. I know he didn't start. I know he played some. About what percentage of snaps did he play, and at what effectiveness, and how is he looking for this week?
Yeah, he you know, he was another one that was dinged up from game one, did not practice at all, and I think that also shows when you don't practice, there's level of just that cohesiveness with the offense, also with just the confidence to be able to move. And so he was out there for some of it, but I also know he was not there at the level he wanted to play at. I think every position up front, you know, we haven't had a chance to really keep the same five guys in one spot for 2 weeks yet. And, you know, I think that defense and Brockport does a really good job. Their strength of their defense, I think, is their front. They have some really aggressive guys, and they do some things schematically to challenge you because they're outnumbering you and they pressure you so much. And, you know, so they did a good job trying to slow down our run game. And that's where a little bit more was going to be in the passing game early on, and we had some things. And again, you know, I can show you three or four plays that it could equal 21, 28 points, and ultimately we got some. We also gave some away, and I think if our line was a little bit healthier, like we were against Randolph-Macon last year, that was a game where I thought we could have thrown the ball better against a good defensive front. You know, and every game's different. Every game plan's different. I think certain teams you're going to be a little heavier run. Certain teams a little heavier pass. We like to be balanced, but to beat Brockport the way they play with all the man and the things they do, you got to be able to protect. And then you saw we had guys open downfield that sometimes we just couldn't hit, or the protection kind of broke down at the wrong times.
Do you change your play calling at all to make up for those injuries? Do you go to quicker passes or run around the ends more often to try to use speed?
Yeah, we had a lot of on-time throws, so three-step and five-step on-time throws. Sometimes, you know, that obviously is all based on the timing of the releases of the receivers too, but that's where majority of the throws in the first half, honestly through the game, there weren't many plays that we were sitting with, you know, without having secured protection. So we were keeping tight ends and running backs in a little bit more than we normally do. And honestly, the sad part was there was a couple plays that we had that guys were open downfield that we just missed protection up front, a physical breakdown. The run game wise, with their speed, we got to the outside a little bit, but the angles and what they do, without getting too deep in terms of the schematics, like, it's tough to run against them because they outnumber you and they go hard upfield. So, like, we actually had fewer negative plays than, you know, if you look at their week one opponent and most of the teams. Like, most of the time, you know, teams aren't running for 15, 20 yards on them for an entire game because of the way they play. At the first half, minus a couple of the bad snaps that, like, you know, there was one that lost, like, 30 yards. It was a really bad opportunity in the wrong time. But, like, that 30 yards looks like rushing.
Right.
We were actually rushing the ball fairly well. And, again, that was part of the game plan, to keep it honest with the run and pass. And, again, we got to execute better, and there's no doubt about it. And I think that goes from, you know, if there's 11 plays and there's 11 guys that each want one play back, that's kind of the story of where we are offensively through two games. Like, when we've put 11 guys on the same page and they've done their job, we've been able to score points and move the ball. And when we haven't, it's like, oh, I wish I had that back, which obviously you don't get that opportunity. So that's where, again, just trying to teach. And again, you said it earlier, like, we have experience at some positions, but overall we're still a young team. And with these injuries, we've now become younger. And teaching that emotional quotient, that ability to kind of calm down and understand, like, all right, how do I learn from this in game? And I think that was one of the things I saw on Saturday, was that we still need to grow and gain that poise and confidence as the game progresses. Because to win on the road against a good opponent, you have to be able to make adjustments in game, and we did a couple, but like I also saw like the moment was pretty big for some guys. And I think that's where we have to understand that experience sometimes takes time, and I wish we had found a way to win that game, because I think we played hard enough to do it. I think we had a solid game plan, and I think our guys were hungry and wanted it. I think they overall, like if you look at special teams, you look at taking care of the ball overall, like we did much better in terms of what it's going to take to win on the road. Sometimes the score doesn't reflect that, and that's where I say, like, coming back from Virginia last year against Randolph-Macon, different opponents but similar type of games. Again, that was a loss, but it was an opportunity for us to grow from. And I think for both of our games this year, very easily could be 2-0, could be 1-1, could be 0-2. That's people chasing results. I'm looking at the process, and I see where we're at. I see that there's a lot of areas to improve on. And honestly, I think there was an energy in our Sunday recovery and our Tuesday workouts that showed that this team is still hungry in terms of what's in front of them. And sport of football, we don't get 30-some games. And one game can matter. We understand that. Every play matters. But we need to start stringing together again. And we put the focus back on our process, understanding what we need to do every single day. And I believe and I'm confident in the process, because it's been – although different year to year, there's a process that's worked in terms of how we win here. And, you know, we got strong opponents coming up, so it's not like you're just going to win because you're playing weaker teams. It's because of our execution, because of our performance. And I just, again, I think we got good guys, we got good players, we got good coaching staff, we got good support. We're going to work on making sure that week in, week out, we're going to improve, and I have no doubt we're going to fire up and be ready to play on Saturday.
You didn't run the ball much at all in the second half. Was that just, like you said, with their defense, you just didn't feel like you were going to be able to move the chains that way?
When we did, and I showed the guys, because I'm always one of those, I critique myself and, you know, break it down play calling wise offensively. When we did, we were losing yardage. We weren't gaining it. And there was a couple, and I can show you key third downs where I was trying to go for it on fourth, key second down to set up third and mediums, third and shorts. And in those situations, they were doing a couple things to adjust, and again, I don't think we did a good enough job running the ball consistently, and at the time, some of the looks we were given, and I think partly based on where we were field position-wise, we were using the special teams in the punting game to try to make it a long field, which was kind of going back and forth. There was a couple times I wanted to be aggressive, but I also knew our defense was playing well, the field position was working, and it's a fine line of, like, when do you make that mistake? And there was a couple opportunities where, like, a turnover or a short field can all of a sudden switch the momentum. And, again, I can think of two or three very tangible plays that we should have pushed that from a 10-7 game to a 17-7 game. And now I do believe that a couple things could have maybe done a couple things differently in terms of putting the pressure back on their offense to figure out how they make up those two possessions. And, you know, their best player, I thought, was their running back. He's a really talented player. The more touches you got, he got his yards. But, ironically, it was a pass that kind of got him down there. And again, it was our defense was playing hard, but there was also situations where, you know, we're going to need them to get a stop. We're going to need the offense to convert. And, again, that's where we were just off enough between a special team play here, an offense or a defense play there, to make it a two-possession game, to make it then a three-possession game. And those are the things we're trying to teach the guys in those moments of – when you need to make those plays, the execution piece, the focus was there, but we didn't execute.
Let's talk about that defense. Second half, 5-3 and outs, one turnover on downs, and the final drive they score the TD. I mean, that had to be a tired group out there on that last drive.
Yeah, like in the first half, we kind of really had the time of possession going, and it flipped a little bit in the second half. You know, I think just a really good example on Corey Rock's interception, great play, get down. We were going to have the ball at the 15. Now there's a penalty. It's still our ball, but it changes. Like there was
about a 50-yard penalty.
Yeah. And again, it could it be called? Sure. What did it affect the play at all? No. Like, I just think sometimes, like, that's why I say we've had a couple plays that, like, man, that one hurts. We're in the score zone. You know, and again, another opportunity. But I thought the defense played hard. I thought they had a really good game plan. That's a good offense, you know, and that's a good team. And again, to play the way they did, I know they played hard. They played well enough for us to win, no doubt. And that's where I put it back a little bit more on the offense, being able to convert, despite where we had some injuries. I mean, we had a touchdown call back. We had twice in the score zone. One was a bad snap that put us out of field goal range. That, you know, and then there was a play, bang, bang play, that Johnny Harden's foot's in the end zone, you know, and if he puts his hand up versus an incompletion, again, there's multiple plays where we can put 7 points up. Now, all of a sudden, the flow of that game just turns out a little differently. And it wasn't. I still think we had a chance when they scored late. We still had a chance to go score. We didn't execute. And unfortunately, there was a clear breakdown in protection that was a mental mistake. And then we had a really bad decision. A quarterback missed the play clock that, you know, that pushed us in from a fourth and medium to a fourth and long. And again, that's an inexperienced situation, and we talked about it. But those are the mistakes you can't make if you're going to win on the road and in those pressure situations.
Boy, the offensive penalties. You had a hold that took away a touchdown pass. You had a ton of false starts. One of those was a 4th and 10, I think, where you were going to go for it and then decided you couldn't and had to punt. I mean, let's talk about the false starts. I mean, I think there was like 6 or 7 of them, 6 or 7 different guys.
Yeah, there was a couple of them that was the young man who was getting his first start. You know, I think there was a lot of, a lot of nerves and stuff going when you're getting your first start. A couple of the false starts comes from guys that aren't practicing, you know, and again, we're playing with a couple different quarterbacks. So it's trying to get cohesiveness with the whole group while still building depth and evaluation. A couple of them were 100% just lack of the concentration that we need in those situations. But, yeah, I mean, the hold was a tough one, calling back the touchdown. Need to relocate the hands, and that was on a young guy that's going to be a good player for us to just gain some experience. I think that there's a couple key ones, and those we call about the controllable ones. We can't control sometimes if they call hold or whatnot, but the controllable ones, the false starts, the alignment, the delay of games, those are the ones we got to 100%. There's no excuse for those, and we've talked about it. Since day one, but we also, you know, those are situations you can put them in all those opportunities, but when the pressure's coming at you, the young quarterback, you know, is thinking so much about protections and everything else that he forgot to look up at the play clock and, again, areas that we're going to improve on.
With a banged-up defensive line, you're moving guys all over the place. You got 2 defensive ends who were nose tackles last year. Billy Brosco moves outside. Hunter Voss had already moved outside. Denzel Silver now gets the start at nose tackle in that 3-4. I mean, all right, let's talk about Brosco a little bit. What is the adjustment moving outside, and can he play that position?
Yeah, we're fortunate that in our defense we have the ability to move guys around. To be honest with you, that 2 deep might even change. I mean, we've had another physical week coming out that, like, the line of scrimmages will be challenged this week in terms of who can play, who can practice. So, you know, we'll have a better idea by the time we get to Thursday and Friday what that actual 2 deep is going to look like. But, you know, Billy Brosco is a really, really athletic player, plays with good leverage. We like him inside, but he has the ability to play outside. Last year, we had some packages ready to go, but he got injured early in the year and never was able to return. Hunter Voss is another young man that, you know, honestly, we recruited originally outside, was moved inside because of our depth at nose. So having guys that are athletic and versatile, especially in the front, is going to give us the ability as we change from 3-man fronts to 4-man fronts, you know, 2 fronts, 2-man fronts to 4-man, 5. Like, we're going to try to be as versatile as we can, but that position right now has been challenged for us. And I thought that was what's even more impressive is how well they played up front without the depth that we normally were trying to play, like a true 3 deep up front. We didn't have that going into this game, the guys that were ready for it. We challenged the team for offense, defense, and special teams. Like, we need guys to step up to the point where, like, who are those freshmen, sophomores that maybe haven't had that large role yet? I think you're going to hopefully see some guys that can emerge there. That comes with a little bit of time, just with confidence and making sure they know what they're doing. But, you know, some of these guys are going to be forced into action sooner as we've had some injuries. And, you know, our support staff is doing everything they can to help get them back. But some injuries are going to take a little bit longer. So we'll see who's ready to go this week. But Billy Brosco and Hunter Voss, Denzel, you mentioned those 3 guys, they're going to have to be pretty stout again against another big offensive line that we're going to be facing this week.
Look at this Utica team, over 40 in both games. They had a quarterback in Brett Fuller who's thrown for almost 4,000 yards. They sat him to replace him with Tyler Zalkowski, 27 of 29, 385 last week, 9-13, 10 TDs, no picks for the season. They're throwing deep balls. How do they complete every single ball they throw?
Yeah, I mean, obviously to have a returning starter with that much experience who's a captain and then basically bring in a transfer quarterback, Division I quarterback, and now he's a captain after the spring. So he's been there for the spring. They've, they're playing really hot. I mean, efficient ball. I mean, he's throwing it short. He's throwing it long. They're protecting him. He's a pretty dynamic player, and he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks we're going to face. So it's a different Different game plan. Not that we haven't faced, you know, both Brockport and Alfred had returning senior starting captain type quarterbacks. So we've played some pretty good quarterbacks through weeks one and weeks two. But, you know, this quarterback right now is throwing it hot. He's gone against solid defenses, and they've only punted, I think, two or three times in two games. So they're rolling. You take a look at last week's game against RPI, which was really interesting. RPI, starts out, has a good series, boom, they have to punt, and it's down 7-0. And then the next position, you're down 14-0. It was 21-0, as they're going into the third, into the third possession. So to have that type of offensive efficiency obviously forces the other offense to feel like you got to, like, play catch up, and that changed. And, then they basically go, the next time they got the ball was 34-0. And I think that's what we got to do a good job on defense too. No doubt a talented offense. They have experience at a lot of different positions. The quarterback position, both of them can play. Fuller's a good quarterback on top of the new young man, Tyler, who's obviously putting up huge numbers. I think we're going to have to mix it up. I don't think you can just sit back and zone. I don't think you can just feel like you can go attack them. I also think, like, it's on us and special teams to make sure that we're smart with what we're doing field position-wise and then possession of the football. Because I think getting off to a strong start offensively now doesn't feel like the defense has to go out and hold the team to 7 to 10 points and feel like that's how we got to win the game. So it's got to be complementary football. All three phases are going to have to be involved in it. But it's going to be a fun challenge for our defense, to be honest with you. We're going to face some teams in our conference that don't want to chuck it around and throw it around. I think this is going to feel ironically similar to last season's week three, Moravian. That was a team that ran the ball a little bit, but that quarterback was dynamic and wanted to throw it around. And just the way it works, week three this year, it's a team that, like, they want to be balanced. They can, but when they're ahead, they're going to run it just to kind of, like, bleed the clock. Doesn't mean they can't run it, but they're going to want to get their yards thrown. So, like most teams RPO, if it's close, you give the run. If it's close, they want to throw the ball. And this quarterback is going to throw it east and west, north and south. I mean, he's going to take shots downfield. So our secondary is going to have to be prepared for a week of probably a lot of action.
Do you pressure a guy like this with all the line injuries, or do you have to kind of sit back in coverage and say, okay, we're probably not going to, and their old line is 298 average, so do you say we probably can't get after them and it comes down to coverage?
Yeah, they're big up front, and that's what I'd say. Like, that's why, like, certain teams you might find a weakness on it, but they have a talented running back, running backs by committee that can run it, but not the same, like, type of horse that, like, Brockport had, that one guy that we knew there was going to get a lot of touches. And from a receiver standpoint, he's spreading around to a lot of different receivers. They're all older guys, so I think they have good chemistry in the passing game. So I think it's got to be a mix. I don't think it can be just line up and think you're going to pressure every single play, because sometimes that makes the reads easy for the quarterback. It's different if you can get there and get home. And obviously, to me, it's like, can we generate a rush with our defensive line and some linebackers without feeling like you got to commit all of them? But there will be times you got to make sure that he can't be so comfortable back there that he can just sit and wait and pick his part. Now, what he does well, too, is a quarterback, if it's not there right away, he can extend plays. And I think there's going to be opportunities for the broken plays that he might either be able to extend his feet, and we got to be able to stay in coverage while still, rallying to the football with him. So it's going to be, no doubt, a team that's on that much of a hot streak for two games. We're going to have to find a way to kind of slow them down and get some key stops. The other part is they don't kick field goals. They kick extra points. So at some point, and that was a challenge we saw in the Alfred game, we have to force teams at some point to kick three, not one. And that's any good defense. Any good defense will want to get those stops. And I think that's going to be where we're looking at. If they are down in scoring range, can we hold them to a field goal attempt versus giving up the 7? A
couple of defensive shout-outs for young guys. Jaron Atwater Jr., first year from Florida, had a sack. Blake Minsterman, the first year, had an interception in game one and was around the ball a lot in game two. Well, those are two guys that the next man up mentality.
Yeah, and I think, like, Jaron, a young man I recruited out of Florida, I think he didn't play against Alfred. But we've seen, as he's gotten a little bit more fresh with his body and ultimately learning the defense, we think he can have a larger role as he kind of got sprinkled into the Brockport game. you know, Blake in week one. We've had some other guys too. Like, it was really cool. And I said that on Sunday, to see like the amount of guys that got their first reps against Brockport that didn't play against Alfred. So as much as like we're slowly getting some guys back, we're also gaining experience with a lot of first years. So whether that's on a punt coverage or kickoff coverage, like there's a lot of opportunities to gain confidence in those special team plays to then maybe have a larger role when it comes to being in the two deep for an offense or defensive play. But yeah, we got some young guys that are emerging, and you know, again, I hope that you'll see over the next 2 to 3, 4 games some guys that maybe didn't play week one or you didn't see now start to kind of emerge as they've kind of settled into college and, you know, a couple weeks of classes, they're now starting to gain confidence with reps and practice. But no, I think we're a team that's hopefully going to continue to grow and prosper. And I think that this week we'll have some opportunities against I think defensively we had some really bright things that came out of the Brockport game to say, like, we took a step forward on defense. I thought we took a step forward on special teams. In a lot of ways, in areas in offense, we took a step forward. You know, ultimately, we got to score more points in that game, but that's a pretty good defense. And to score against them with where we were up front was going to be a challenge, but I think all three phases took a step forward, and we're going to have to do the same thing this week.
And if you could play a clean, penalty-free offensive game, you know, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns isn't out of the realm. I mean, you were that close. You had, like I said, one was called back, a couple other penalties that prevented you from doing what you might want to do. This offense has scored 33 points last year through 2 games, 17, and that offense was fine. So, I mean, I can see those building blocks just ready to kind of come all together.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at it, the Alfred game, if you break that down, we had three costly turnovers. There was a questionable call that, like, there's ways, and we scored in the 20s there that easily could have scored in the 30s and 40s. And against Brockport, whose defense is a team that's sometimes tougher to score against because of what they do schematically and where we were up front, we still had tangibly 3 or 4 opportunities to gain more points. And I think that's where we look at it, is it's not like, hey, we got to get to a certain point level. Every game dictates differently. You remember Moravia in the game last year, like, it took us a little bit, and then we scored 3 times in the fourth. So, like, it's generating, and it's all going to start up front. You said it earlier, like, how well can our offensive line play consistently? You know, we don't need anyone to do something like that's so extraordinary that they haven't already done. But, like, we got to play consistently and cohesive with those 5. I think our tight end group has played solid and has done well. They were used a little bit more in pass protection because we needed them to last game. But, like, I think this is a game where maybe we can get them involved. I think EJ and our running backs have been running hard. I thought they did well in pass protection. I think the quarterbacks have progressed and done better from week one to week two, but we missed some things or a couple, unfortunately, untimely mistakes that we're going to try to clean up on. But and then there were some opportunities in the receivers. Where it was a lot of man-to-man against Brockport, you're going to probably see a little bit more zone-based against Utica. Utica still is going to rely on the negative play, so, like, we got to limit the negative play, but there'll be opportunities for us to potentially have more zone type of concepts throwing the ball. And again, at the end of the day, like, I don't care if we win 3-0 or if we win 53-50. At the end of the result, we're trying to earn a win, earn that W, and that's hard in college football. So anytime you do it, and you think of last year's Randolph-Macon game, like, that game could have come down to a field goal kick, or we make a score in overtime and we lose a 1-possession game. But I also know if we felt like we were full strength, that's a playoff-type team. I think Brockport is a playoff-type team, and honestly, we should have and could have won that game. We didn't, and I'm not going to make any excuses about it. But the confidence doesn't waver. If the results don't go our way, it comes back to cleaning up the things and controlling the controllables that we actually have. And if we do that, then I think the games, we will create our own luck, because we're going to end up winning more of those type of games than we have at this point.
Hobart, Utica, Saturday, 1 o'clock, home opener at Boswell Field. Let's fill the Bos and make it a great atmosphere. It's a rematch of a bowl game from 2022. And that game will be on 105.7 WHWS. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. And all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Coach, thanks as always.
I appreciate your support. Thank you.